It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Friday Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, great to be here with you. Dennis Wofford says, I made a lot of Clemson fans big mad by being honest about Trevor Lawrence, that I wouldn't tank for him if I was the Carolina Panthers. I don't think his play merits tanking for at this point. If I'm honest with you, I consider Trevor Lawrence a borderline first-round pick today. Based on what I've seen, borderline first-round pick. He's got a lot of tools, but he's got to put them all together. And, you know, look, you guys saw the gap between Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence in the national championship game. That was a difference between the very best of college football and where Trevor Lawrence is right now. Now Joe Burrow has 3 years on him, but Trevor Lawrence has got to close that gap this year. P1 Smitty says, you know what, man, I'm a huge Clemson fan, but you're telling the truth and not hurting my feelings at all. Like you said, Trevor Lawrence himself said he sucked in the championship game. I believe he's going to use that to hit the field running this spring. It was just like his very last high school football game. Drew LeBlanc says, as to the Astros, hashtag Astros cheat, why do it at all if it doesn't have an impact on the field? Right? I mean, obviously it has an impact on the field. Otherwise, why would you be doing it? Oh, steroids, according to Mark McGuire, doesn't help you hit the ball farther. Why are you using them then? Okay? Doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense if I am completely and totally honest with you. All right, coming up in this hour, we have What's the Scenario? Coming up at 5:40, Mark, Alonzo and I will present a scenario to you. How would we behave in a certain scenario? Coming your way at 5:50, we have a listener segment. Danny won the right to host a segment of this particular show. He will have his segment at 5:55, and he is one of People Magazine's 50 Most Beautiful People. Was a star on the 1994 United States World Cup team, and he's currently the head coach, the manager of the Greenville Triumph. John Harkes joins us in the very next segment. As for us, as for you and I, right now, it's time to do a little ditty we call the Top 5 at 5. Hit it! All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we open the show today talking about the gap between South Carolina and Clemson. When we talk about that gap, is it growing, is it shrinking, or is it holding steady? What say you? I understand why South Carolina fans are salty right now, but I have something that might make you feel just a wee bit better, ladies and gentlemen. I believe the gap is shrinking. You just don't see it yet. How can you say that, Mark Ryan? We at Clemson won the national championship. We at Clemson made it back to the national championship. Here's the thing, though. And you may not see it in wins and losses. You haven't seen it yet, but the talent at South Carolina is a lot closer than you realized. Prior to this season, the last 4 years, year over year, the average recruiting class for Clemson was 12th. The average class for South Carolina was 19th. That's not a chasm. Now the coaching is a lot better. South Carolina is not the only school that suffers from that, folks. Florida State put more 4- and 5-star players on the football field than did Clemson this past season. And Clemson outgained them at the half 352 yards to 57. Coaching is a big part of this. But for whoever the new coach is a year from now in Columbia, South Carolina, the gap will be smaller than is previously realized because there's a lot of talent in them there town. There's a lot of talent in Columbia. So I ask you, the gap between those two teams, is it growing, is it shrinking, or is it holding steady? 1-844-477-3776. Next up, folks, today, and Lonzo, I don't know if you know this, today marks the 100-year birthday of radio. Radio is 100 years old as of today. From 1920 until 2020, you and I have gotten to do this very, very labor of love. Can you remember, Lonzo, the moment you decided that this is what you wanted to do? What made you fall in love with this format?
The first time I was on a live sports show and got to talk a little bit and was like, you know what? This is pretty cool. And that was 22 and a half years ago.
You know what's interesting? My dad knew the arena voice of the Orlando Magic, right? They met at some kind of work luncheon. My dad said, hey, can I introduce you to my son? He said, sure. So he invited me down to see his radio show in Tampa, Florida. And I'm sitting there watching his show, and out of nowhere, he throws me on the air. And I'd never been on the radio before, man. And so I'm on the air. He throws me on the air. And let me tell you something, man. It felt like I was doing what I was always born to do. It felt like I was riding a bike. It felt so incredibly natural to me. And then he said, Mark, let me tell you, you've never done this before. I said, never in my life, sir. He said, you got a lot of potential, man. You got a lot of potential. And that was the birth for me of what would become a passion for the next 15 years of my life, leading me right here to today.
I'm glad he didn't lie to you, because that really sucked to get advice from someone and you go out and do something thinking that you're the guy and find out that you're not really that good.
No, man, you're not that good. He might have saved me a lot of heartbreak if he did tell me that, Lonzo. I'll tell you what. All right, 100-year birthday for radio. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your favorite memory of listening to radio for your entire life? Happy birthday to the love of my life, radio. We appreciate you. We love you so much. Next up. So the NFL ruled yesterday that Myles Garrett would be reinstated and will have that 6-game suspension that's served. And, you know, how do you feel about Myles Garrett coming back? Folks, I honestly believe the dude snapped. I believe he's actually a pretty good human being. I believe he had a really, really horrible moment. I believe if the injury... who was the quarterback again, Lonzo? They got hit in the head with a helmet?
I hate that. Boy, this is a bad forgot, and then you made me forget. I see him in my head.
No, I can see
he's
him
perfectly. He's got black hair. He's really tall.
He's got black hair. He played at Oklahoma State, didn't he? Yeah, and you and I are blanking out on the name together. But if that injury had been worse, you know, the punishment would have been worse for Myles Garrett. So
it's Mason Rudolph. The sad part is he played in this area. And, oh, boy. So we're really going to get it for
you
that.
You get the points off for that. Myles Garrett coming back, I applaud the decision. He deserves a second shot. Look, if he goes Antonio Brown time after time after time, absolutely not. But as far as I'm concerned, this is an isolated incident. I think he's one of the best edge rushers in the NFL, and I am glad to see Myles Garrett back in the fold. What do you think, folks? Was the NFL, did the NFL go easy on Myles Garrett, or did the punishment, in fact, fit the crime? Next up. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So the Major League Baseball is considering a change to the playoff format that I think is absolutely positively ludicrous, insane. They would add 2 teams to the playoffs from each league. So 14 out of 30, 48% of the whole league would actually make the playoffs now. The team 1 would have a bye. And then in the other 6 teams in the playoffs, teams 2, 3, and 4 would get to pick. Teams 2 and 3 would get to pick their 2 wild card teams that they play. Is this intriguing? Yes. Is there drama involved? Yes. But is it lunacy? Absolutely, positively, yes as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I dated at one point 2 women at the same time in college. And here I thought I'm the man. I'm the man. Look at me. I can date 2 women at the same time. And I've never cheated. I wasn't cheating. They knew about each other. I just wasn't committing at the time. And it was a nightmare. It was a bloody nightmare. Good God. It was awful. There was so much drama in my life. Folks, less is more in so many different areas of our lives. Less is more. And when I look at the Astros, when I look at the playoff teams in Major League Baseball, more is not more, less is more, and you're watering down the product. Then you're doing this weird thing where teams would get to pick who they play. I mean, you know, don't you think that a majority of the time the team that you pick would beat you because of the motivation factor of having you select them to play? I don't get that at all, man. I don't fully understand what Major League Baseball is doing. And this almost seems like it's festivalish, doesn't it? Like a carnival? Should a major league, should a professional playoff league ever feel that way? Next up. At number one today, the Astros having to face the music, in West Palm Beach. Look, the media is all over the Astros. Let's start with Bob Costas's take.
Tainted. And everybody will make whatever judgments. You know, just like Barry Bonds' single season and career home run records are tainted, as are the gargantuan numbers of Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and whomever. And you don't need an official asterisk or expunging of a championship or a record for knowledgeable fans to make their own judgment.
Next up, former Major League Baseball slugger Andre Dawson with some harsh words.
Well, Andre, what do you think? Fair punishment for what's happened to the Astros, or what are you thinking? Blatant cheating? Because everybody's trying to say, "Oh, it's been around forever." What are your thoughts on this whole Astros thing?
No, I don't agree with that, and saying that it's been around forever, because this is really taking it to an entirely different level. And of course, you know, it got them to an incredible season, postseason play, winning a World Series. The punishment to me wasn't enough. I think there has to be ramifications for the players involved. It's funny because a pitcher would be the leak source, knowing that, well, now these guys are going to be the enemy when you're not with the team anymore, and you may have to go and face these guys. But I think for sure the World Series should have been forfeited.
The World Series should have been forfeited. What say you, Jim Crane, owner of the Houston Astros? He had to face the music today.
Sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, boy. Ugh, brutal, brutal day for the Houston Astros. I'm a fan of the Houston Astros, and I got to admit, I'm embarrassed to admit that I'm a fan of the Houston Astros today, man. What a joke. What an out-and-out joke. You know, what should happen to the Astros here? You know, would you strip their World Series? Would you punish the players? You know, they took away a first and second round pick from the Astros. The GM lost his job. The manager lost his job. And still, I don't feel like enough has been done. It doesn't sit well with me that the guys that were wearing buzzers on their body escaped from this scot-free. Doesn't sit well with me at all, man. It really, really doesn't. 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP is the number to join us on the show. The text line is there for you at 71307. Put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. You can tweet the show at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word, and you may email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C, Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Those are your top five at five for the day. Let's go ahead and get to Jimmy, who is up next on the line. Jimmy, thanks for the call, man. You're offside. Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, guys. You've been talking about the Gamecocks closing the difference with the Tigers, and I agree with that. And the reason I agree with that is because,
The
reason I agree with that is there. Yeah, I was having problems with my phone here. All right, so the reason I think they're closing the gap, they're signing the top talent in the state the last few years, and I know people say that Clemson is more concerned about other parts of the United States with recruiting. But then we're also signing Ryan Olinsky from California, 4-star. Then this year we signed Marshawn Lloyd from Maryland. So those are some of the reasons I think they're closing the gap. And then on Monday, you made a statement when some of those coaches left that you thought they were jumping ship, but I think things were in the works already because they hired Tracy Rocker and a guy named Drew Hughes from Tennessee to replace them on Monday as soon as we heard that the other coaches had left. And Brian McClendon had been demoted already and replaced by Mike Bobo. And the John Scott Jr., did the defense look good to y'all this year? So I think it was a mutual thing, those coaches leaving, since they had coaches coming in so quickly.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Do appreciate it. Let's get to Delvin, who's up next. Delvin, thanks so much for the call. Delvin, you're offsides. Delvin, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Always good, buddy. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah. Talking about the assholes. I want to know, where is Justin Verlander today? You know, he was so outspoken that year, Mark, about how baseball was cheating with the juice balls and talking about that all that time. He knew that his team was cheating, but he, like you said, he didn't speak up. So, and he did call our D Gordon again for doing PED, but you were cheating at the same time. Oh, you were so outspoken by then, but now when I could even talk to you today, I don't want to talk about it. We're so apologetic about what happened. but you were so apologetic.
Yeah.
But you were so outspoken and talking baseball juice balls and stuff that year.
Yeah, no, man, that's 100% right. That's 100% right. And you know, suddenly when do you remember when they had to face Congress about steroids? Suddenly, Sammy Sosa didn't know how to speak English anymore. He was a pitch man. He was a pitch man for every product in existence. And suddenly he forgets English, right? Delvin, you are dead on it, man. You are dead on it. All right.
I wonder what Justin Verlander did. He was so outspoken. I probably didn't put him out there at the press conference.
Well, he was at the press conference, but he didn't have a lot to say. So, yeah. Delvin, what should happen? Should you strip the World Series from him?
I think you should, because you need to punish the players.
I do, too.
You need to punish the players, because I got a feeling a lot of Astro players are going to get hit this year.
I wouldn't be surprised. Delvin, thanks so much for the phone call. Coming up next on the show, we are going to be joined by the head coach of the Greenville Triumph, John Harkes, joins us on the flip side as they get set to begin season number 2. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. You know, look, man, I love that soccer is making hay here in this area. I love that Charlotte is getting an MLS team. I love that that we have a USL League One team here in the area. You know, the team has done a great job marketing itself, but I also feel like our area, especially Greenville being the crown jewel of the upstate, is doing so. The town is taking to this team so much. The Greenville Triumph made it all the way to the championship game last year, and it was awesome to be a part of it. We've had him in studio now a couple of times, and we're getting ready for the start of season number 2. He is one of People Magazine's 50 most beautiful people. He also played as and served as captain for the United States men's national team in the World Cup, and he joins us right now, John Harkes, on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Coach, so good to be joined by you again. How was the offseason for you?
Yeah, it was good, Mark. It's great to be back on with you as well. Hopefully you're doing well. It was a busy offseason, as you can imagine, you know, changing the roster a little bit and adding players. And, you know, we sold a couple of players as well, which was good for our club. And, we're taking time to evaluate last season. You know, what went well, how do we close the gaps on some of the things that we've got to be better at? And then we look to, kind of envision on what this second year is going to look like. And as we do that, we also understand it takes a lot of patience with that in the process. So, getting to the final last year was fantastic. It really was. It was great for our club. It was great for the players, the staff, but also for our community and for our fan base. And as you just stated there, we're looking to continue to grow as much as possible in the second year and bring those fans back that were there last year, but also add to it this year. And hopefully, make our home stadium, Legacy Early College, a fortress this year, you know, when we can sell out. That would be fantastic. So hopefully that happens.
How about some of those changes that you made on the roster in the offseason, John? Can you tell us more about some of the new faces?
Yeah, we did. You know, there was a lot of guys last year that were stepping up to a pro-level platform for the first time. And, you know, this year we, you know, evaluating what we went through and looking at some of the, you know, second halves of the season, you know, we wanted to get in maybe a little bit more mature group. And some of the players last year really did a great job of contributing. And we stepped up. We got Alex Morrell in, who was at Tormenta last year, one of our rivals in the league. He has USL Championship experience being with Tampa Bay. Was drafted into MLS 3-4 years ago. So a great quality player. We've got Brandon Frike, who was a captain and leader at Lansing, a club that we played in the semifinal game away from home and beat them 1-0. So we brought him in as well. And then we have Omar Mohamed, who was here last year with us, but we brought in his cousin, Abdi Mohamed, who was a right back, great experience, was drafted into Major League Soccer with New York City FC. He also played a few games in the championship on loan at Memphis. And so, you know, securing up some more players, bringing them on, some experienced guys. And we look like we're strong right now. And we're still in the process of adding, Mark. We've got about 6 trialists with us right now. We've held some tryouts this year, a couple of combines that we've had invited players into. We've asked them to stay on board for the first week of our preseason and play a game on Saturday. If they can join in, it would be great, against Charleston Battery this Saturday, you know, at Legacy Early College, 3:00.
You know, I was thinking about having my producer take part in the open tryout for the Greenville Triumph. As somebody who's never kicked a soccer ball in his life, John, what would be the biggest shock to producer Lonzo in a tryout?
Well, first of all, I need to see his video. I need to talk to him about his character and know if he has any team characteristics that would be value of us. And I need to know, Mark, what is his strengths? You know, what's his areas of development from your perspective? What do you think?
I'll tell you what, the video he's going to send you is video games, so that might be a problem.
You know, I do have a microphone and I can speak, and I will tell you, I've kicked a soccer ball before. Here are what my strengths are. I am a very good flopper.
There you go.
I'm a very good flopper. I can pull it off like nobody's business. And I'm also, I can be a goon. I mean, soccer does have a version of that. I know they do. You bring me in.
The enforcer.
I will take a guy out for you, and, you know, and then I'll go back to the sideline.
Coach Harkes, what does...
So are you a defensive lineman or in the NFL? What are we talking about here? You say a goon. You're taking somebody out? Are we getting to the quarterback? What are we saying?
Yeah, well, I was a defensive lineman, but I can do that in soccer, too. I can make it look like it was an accident. Because I'm clumsy enough to make it look like it, you know, I didn't do it on purpose.
Okay, Mark, you talk about your clumsiness last time I was on. You did mention that.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we can work with that. I like it.
Coach, have you ever had enforcers on the team? I mean, how does that role work in soccer? Because I know that position exists on hockey teams.
I wouldn't say, I mean, you know, the soccer is a sport that is a gentleman's game.
Sure.
And we're a little bit above the enforcer of, like, you know, in hockey, and I support hockey. I've been going to the Rangers game since I was 14. When I grew up in Jersey, I go across on the PATH train and watch hockey and sit in the blue seats and cheer on the Rangers and everything else. And, you know, you'd see a guy come on, and he'd be there to drop the gloves and drop the stick and just have a fight and have a go. And I think you want enforcers in the right attitude to be leaders on the field, the guys that know when to read the game and when to go through a hard crunching tackle, and maybe not take a player out specifically, because, you know, look, you need players to stay in the field. With hockey, take a penalty, 2 minutes, you're back on the ice. With soccer, that doesn't happen. When you're out, you're out. You're a red card, you're off the pitch, and that's it. You're playing a man down. So there's a responsibility there of staying on the field.
You know, Coach, this is really exciting to me. Marion Cole, our friend and liaison between us and you guys, is let me know that you're participating in the Open Cup this year. The Open Cup, for those that don't know, is a nationwide tournament of all professional teams in the United States. And there's MLS teams, USL teams, amateur clubs. This is going to be one heck of an experience for the young guys, right?
Yeah, the Open Cup, I mean, it was great. We took part in that last year. We won our first round game against Georgia Tormenta, actually, in our league, which was interesting. And usually you do get, Mark, the lower league teams that are in there, and they try to, the giant killers, you know, take the teams out. it goes back to the old English FA Cup, you know, which was there too. And the Open Cup is the oldest history, traditional tournament in this country of all sports. And so it's really, I really respect it. I played in it. I've won it twice with DC United and the Columbus Crew. Won it for Lamar Hunt, you know, which is actually named after Lamar Hunt now. And, you know, tremendous guy who gave everything he had to soccer and also to the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL and growing the game and growing sports in our country. So I have a lot of admiration for this tournament. And so, yeah, it's going to be great for our young players to compete in it. But our older players talk about how special that is. And so we want to give everything we have to kind of compete. And it's a knockout tournament, Mark. So you have to mentally prepare differently for that as you play. And it coincides with your league play throughout the year. So it's tough to manage that from a coach's standpoint. We have to make sure that we've got the players that can rotate in and compete and then still play in the weekend games. So there's a lot of Tuesday, Wednesday games now thrown into the mix throughout the year.
The first preseason match for the Greenville Triumph is this Saturday, February 15th. It's open to the public, $5 general admission. So we're getting ready to go here. Really excited. Want to switch gears here a little bit with you, Coach. As the U.S. Women's National Team clinched their spots in the Olympics, boy, what an experience for them. You know, we're over the last 20 years, we've grown accustomed to the women being great, but I feel like right now, Coach, they're better than they've ever been before. What this feels like to me is women's sports version of the Beatles that we're witnessing right now. They're rock stars across the country. The social media following is massive. As an American, they make me so proud. What are you looking forward to from the ladies this summer?
I think U.S. women, I think Jill Ellis, there's a lot of credit that needs to go to her, the head coach that brought them, you know, to prominence again at the highest levels. And she changed a lot in the system. They went through a lot of growing pains with some younger players coming through. They knew that they were falling behind and the rest of the world was catching up to the U.S. women. A lot of people don't know in sport and soccer in our country that U.S. women basically introduced the game to the rest of the world. Whereas on the men's side, we were catching up to the rest of the world. So it's hard to compare the men to the women. But Jill Ellis did a tremendous job as a head coach, and she has set them up for success. They've changed up. She's resigned. She retired from that gig. I think she's going to pick it up and be offered. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of other nations try to hire her because she's a very, very good coach and a great mind in the game. But I think the women are set up now for success. Now, having said that, it's going to be a bit of a challenge for Vlatko, the new head coach, to take over here because he's going to have his own ideas. He's going to want to probably infuse some young talent coming into that. So everyone's got to be patient with that beginning cycle as it goes through. But qualifying for the Olympics, that's a given. They should do that every qualifying round. They should do it every year because they don't have strong competition in this conference. But in this region. So, and I also think that, and maybe I'd like to throw this out there, the women, whoever wins the World Cup should automatically qualify for the Olympics.
Of course.
I don't think that there should be a qualifying rounds for them to go through that process. But, yeah, they've done well. We give them a lot of credit, and they're setting a high standard right now. But there's a lot of great nations that are catching up to U.S. women. So it's going to be competitive over the next 4 years.
We're excited for season number two, Coach, of the Greenville Triumph, and we look forward to being a part of your season and to catching up every so often throughout the year. Thanks so much for being here. We love that you're here in the Upstate with us, and we're excited about Greenville Triumph soccer.
Mark, great to be on with you as always. Appreciate the time and look forward to seeing you out in the game.
Absolutely. See you real soon, Coach. Thank you. You know, Lonzo, I went out to the Greenville Triumph game, and like Legacy Early College, first of all, the roads that we normally travel at, you know, they don't take you out there. The roads don't take you out there. So when I was going to Legacy Early College for the first time, I'm like, well, I haven't been out here yet, right? And then you get out there, and it's like this treasure, this kind of hidden treasure. They got a great atmosphere out there. It's awesome. Will you go to a Greenville Triumph game this year with me?
You know, this was a question last year, and I said, yes, I would. But the problem is they always happen when I have to work, and I can't help that.
You got an out.
Well, it's not having an out. I would love to go, but the games happen when I'm on the air. Sorry. Okay. That's just how that works.
Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do a little ditty called What's the Scenario, where we present a potential real-life scenario. How would you behave? How would you react? We will ask you next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. Friday Eve edition of the show. You know what? I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of fun things that we do here on the show. And by the way, we've got a tweet coming in here. Alan Burden says, at Alan Discs, is Lonzo that guy in every office that never calls out sick in reference to attending a soccer game with you? Feels like that's the case. That is 100% the case. Lonzo, and this is a credit to him, this is a tip of the cap. I don't know what it is. I don't know why Lonzo wants to make the rest of us look bad. When he's sick, he just gets everybody else sick at work. He doesn't stay at home. You know, and part of the reason for that is he's irreplaceable. There's nobody else that can do what he does. When Lonzo's out, the whole system shuts down, does it not, Lonzo?
When I try to call in, the boss is like if I call in and say I have diarrhea, he says you can clinch. So
actually said that to you?
In different words. Yeah, you don't understand our relationship. Anyway, so
you can clinch?
Yeah, so he does it. I am not allowed to call in. I mean, I've tried. Years ago during an ice storm, I couldn't get up my driveway. So they sent someone to come and get me. Didn't get me away home. They sent someone to come and get me to bring me to work to make sure I was here. So, I mean, that's just how it happens. And, yes, I have called in sick in probably in 20 years here, probably maybe 10 times at the most in 20 years. So maybe once a year, once every 2 years, something like that. I just don't do that. I can work. It's radio, man. I can work through it usually.
Wow. So I think that's, you know, Lonzo, I commend you for doing that. And it's time to do a little ditty that we call What's the Scenario? Here we go. All right, here we go. What's the Scenario on a Thursday edition of the show? What do you got?
All right, so here's the deal. You're getting ready to quit a job. You've already put in your 2 weeks, and near the end of your, like, let's say the next to last day, you get called up into the office. Everyone in the place sees you get called up into the office, and the management tells you they know that a bunch of other employees have been out on lunch, taking extended lunches, and smoking weed. And they just need you to confirm it. They need someone to confirm it. They know you're leaving.
Is this a real scenario?
They want you to confirm it. Actually, it is. They want you to confirm it. Do you say yes? Yes, I've seen them do this. Or do you plead the fifth and say, I don't know what you're talking about?
Keep in mind,
everyone saw you get taken to the office. So all these employees, who, by the way, are about to be suspended, knows you got taken to the office and knows that how honest you are and that they're screwed.
So what would I say to the boss? That's the question?
Yes.
That's the scenario?
Yes.
Guys, what do you think? Everybody's been out smoking weed. You're quitting. There's nothing on it for you. Are you honest with everybody? How do you handle that situation? 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN. I'm not bringing everyone down with me. I'm leaving. I'm a truth teller by nature. That's kind of my style, but I'm going to do a little white lie there because I don't need to take everybody out. I don't need to make a bunch of enemies. I probably like some of those people. I don't need to do it, Lonzo. So yeah, in that situation, I would lie to protect my friend. Just being real with you, my friends.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to lie. all you have to do is say you're just not going to say anything.
Yeah, but if you don't say anything, I'll play the role of your boss here. I'll play the role of your boss. If you don't say anything, well, then we're not going to give you your severance. What do you know, Lonzo? What do you know? And I think if that happens, you're in trouble. If that happens, you're up against it. Lonzo, we know you know something. So what are you going to do? What can you share with us? We know you know something, Lonzo. Okay, so Lonzo, I want to share with you my scenario. And this one, ladies and gentlemen, you will understand a lot more than Lonzo does. So I'm going to show you a video of this actually taking place, Lonzo. This guy...
I have that in my either or.
Oh, you have this in your either or?
If there are punches involved in the back of the thing. So
Lonzo has never flown. And so what happens on a plane, Lonzo, is... the seats recline.
Quit taking my stuff, man. Go ahead.
This is proof that it's live radio and you and I don't look at what the other's doing, which is good.
Yeah, we don't talk to each other often.
Yeah, no. So here's the thing, Lonzo. Here's how it works. You've never been on an airplane. The seats on an airplane recline about 2 to 3 inches. So it's just like this, basically. Okay? You're not reclining a whole lot. They don't let you recline a whole lot. But it's generally, you know how I feel, unwritten rules. The last seat, the last row, doesn't recline at all because it's against the back wall. So it's generally really considered to be a punk move if you're in the second to last row and you recline your seat because the person behind you can't recline at all. So here's what happens. This video is going viral. The woman in the second to last row reclines her chair and the guy behind her is jabbing her seat constantly. And here's what's odd about this. Both of them are grown-ass adults. That's what's so funny about this. So here we go. Here's the video of this.
Can this go on the air?
Yeah. See what he's doing? He keeps jabbing.
See, when I read the story without watching the video, I thought he was full-blown punching
this,
it.
Look at this nutcha.
A little bit. There we go.
Yeah, but look at her head.
That's a massage chair. That is absolutely what a massage chair does.
Yeah, but she's not asking for a massage. And she's leaning into him, and he's in the back row, and he's got nowhere to move. And so he's just like, I'm gonna F your day up. So, Lonzo, what do you think of what you saw here? Is this so the question is, who is right and who is wrong, and how would you be in this action? I would be pissed, but I would understand it's her right to do that, and I would do nothing.
As a larger person, it doesn't matter how much weight I lost. I'm wide. I'm a big guy. So, and I'm also slightly claustrophobic. So I wouldn't do what that guy did. I would ask her again, because he does ask her not to recline when he's eating. Then after he's done with his meal, she tries to do it again. And that's when that starts. And I don't
know. And that's her, by the way, filming him.
Yeah. So, and the stewardess comes over, according to the story, and gets on her for filming it. So it makes it look like she's doing it on purpose for clicks. And she has like over 40,000 views, probably 40,001 now that you've watched it again.
How about 5.9 million?
Okay. All right. So at the writing of the article, it was only that many. So this looks like another one of those things where you're trying to get clicks. Is she really upset or not?
Well, okay, look, but she's showing people what's happening. Okay, who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? He's in the wrong. She has the right to recline her seat. You can think she's a four-letter word, but she has the right to recline her seat.
There are situations where there are no good guys, and I think they're both wrong.
She's not wrong. You've never been on a plane. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen this video, if you haven't seen this video, do you have the right to jab the back of somebody's chair if they recline their chair on a plane? You don't have the right to do that, right? Come on. 1-844-477-3776 is the number. Snitches get stitches. The texters are in line with you here, Lon, so I can't believe it.
But here's the problem, though. And that situation is real. That did happen to me. But once I was taken into the office, it didn't matter what I said, and I knew that. I knew they saw me go up there, so they're thinking that I'm ratting them out. So you're in a position where you can just go ahead and do it because you know everyone thinks you did it anyway, and I just didn't answer the question.
Interesting, man. Interesting.
I was leaving anyway, and there is no severance. Yeah, trust me. Yeah. It was a grocery store. I wasn't losing anything by not ratting people out.
You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, so John Bones Jones against Reyes over the weekend, and Joe Rogan, pretty much the face of MMA, says a bunch of BS.
That's the same guy that gave Andre Ewell the decision earlier tonight against Jonathan Martinez, which is just ridiculous. That was another fight that just made no sense to any of us. It makes me angry. We've talked about it so many times. It's less of an issue in some commissions where they've dealt with combat sports, particularly MMA, longer. But I can't argue about this enough. I can't get angry enough. I've done it so many times. For anyone to think that was 4-1 John Jones, that person's insane. They're insane. Dominic Reyes put on a hell of a fight tonight. And to disrespect that performance, but that kind of judging is insane.
I think, Lonzo, and I don't know why we don't see this. I don't know why this isn't made more public. If people think that you deliberately threw a fight, or if you are that so far off that, like Jameis Winston, they think you need LASIK eye surgery, I think you should lose your license to be able to judge, right? Because, Alonzo, I didn't see the fight. You did. Was it obvious that Reyes was the winner?
It was obvious that Reyes won 3 of the 5 rounds, yeah. And that's all you need to do is win 3 out of... If you win 3 and the other guy wins 2, you win.
Well,
that's
how that works. But no, well, unless there's a 10-8 round, right, in boxing?
There was not. There was Reyes.
Can they do that in MMA too? If a guy dominates,
that's the problem. One of the judges did that, and it gave him a 2-point, and there was no way, and none of the other ones did that.
Michael Stathakis says you can't buy the cheapest seat on the plane in the back and then complain about one of the reasons the seat is cheap in the first place. The lady paid for a seat that reclined and she reclined it. He's totally in the wrong. She should have raised hell and got first class for free. He continues about what's the scenario, Alonzo? I would maybe understand snitching to get ahead, but if you're on the way out and snitch them out, that's just wrong. You tell the boss you can't help out, but good luck with that.
Which is exactly what I did.
We will get to your calls, and we will hear from Adam Spolane on Astros spring training next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.